everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. The middle of September. It's Tuesday, the 15th of September, 2020. Bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. On 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the program, and we hope you do, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And speaking of the live line, let's go now to Washington, D.C. United States Representative Tom O'Halloran joining us. The congressman became a U.S. representative for Arizona's 1st Congressional District. He's been in that seat since 2017. He began his political career as a Republican. He was the Arizona State Senator, one of the state senators from the 1st District. From 2007 to 2009, in 2015, he became a member of the Democratic Party. Congressman, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Bill. I hope everything's going well with you, and the weather's getting a little cooler back there.
Well, it's cool. The mornings are getting a little better, but Congressman, the air quality has been very bad. Slight improvement today. That smoke now has moved all the way across the country, and you've got hazy skies even there in the nation's capital.
That's right. These fires are terrible, and the loss of life is just very sad.
People are very, very concerned, Congressman, that there will be no stimulus coming out of D.C. Is there any hope for some kind of a renewed stimulus package? Is that at all under consideration now?
Well, I hope there is. I think there will be. Both parties have issues that they want included. But I think the bottom line is the American people and the American businesses need this. We need to make sure that when we went into this process, we wanted to come out of it as a stable as possible country. We still have to do that. And you can't do it without the additional investment that has to be coming for both entities, our families, and the small businesses, especially of America.
Well, who dropped the ball on this, Congressman O'Halloran?
Well, the first thing, we put the HEROES Act over 100 and some days ago and voted it out. It was a comprehensive package. But even before that, the president of the Senate clearly indicated that he wanted a pause. He did not want to go further with any bills until he could see what the economy was doing and what the infection rate was and so forth. And it kept going in the wrong direction. The stock market is not the indicator for the economy. It's how many jobs people have, how the families are doing, making sure that we're not kicking people out of their apartments and going in and costing the government more money and lowering the productivity rate for people. I think we need to move forward, and I think that's the first thing we got to. The second thing, obviously, is the administration has indicated clearly that some of these issues are not what they want to address in the way that we want to address them as far as testing, tracing, and being able to react to hotspots. You have to have those first two elements, testing and tracing. And all the scientists tell you that, and we're going to try to address it from the scientific standpoint because these people have been involved in pandemics and terrible things like Ebola and SARS on an ongoing basis. They know what they're doing.
Your district includes the Navajo Nation, which has been really hard hit by COVID. Has there been some improvement up there?
There has been. They're much lower as far as positive tests and the death rate. But there's a prime example. It took 3.5 weeks to get help onto the Navajo Reservation. of 3.5 weeks of constantly trying to get people to recognize a hotspot and to address it as fast as they could. And so we as America can't afford to have this going on. When you say national emergency, that means all hands on deck. We are all in this together. We need to be unified, and we need to address it as fast as possible, not take pauses, because that creates instability within the system. And America has to come out of this as strong as the other nations are coming out, and that's being able to attack this virus and get it over with as far as lowering that threshold to cases down definitely below 10,000.
People get very nervous, especially in rural areas, and you've certainly got a lot of rural areas of Arizona. Your district is the largest district in the United States outside of Wyoming, the largest congressional district. It's huge. And when people start hearing, well, the Postal Service may be going away, people get real nervous, Congressman.
Well, of course they do. I'll forget about the political side of the mail-in ballots, but I'll go right to the underlying issues. The ability to get your drugs and make sure that you have them available to you on a timely basis. And that's one of those elements. Others are paying your bills and having checks coming to you that are needed by the family. And all in all, the Postal Service has served us competently for over a century, and hopefully it will continue that way, because it's definitely the cheapest mode of dealing with things, but it also addresses every American, not just a few that can afford to be able to get some things done by overnight and stuff like that.
You are standing for another two-year term. What are you telling people why they should retain you as their congressman in District 1?
Well, my record, I think, speaks for itself. I've been a leader on broadband issues here in this Congress on an ongoing basis. Healthcare, again, an area that I've been a leader on. When I first got here, in fact, I tried to close the donut hole on Medicare. Our committee is addressing healthcare problems on a continuing basis, whether it's surprise billing or the cost of medicines, or the total cost of health care. We oversee and have jurisdiction on Medicaid and on Indian Health Services, which is another area, by the way, that I've worked on to make sure that the tribes, the 12 tribes that are in Arizona's first congressional district, are represented in Washington.
You have 12 Indian nations just in the congressional district one? I did not realize that.
And the highest population of tribal membership in the entire lower 48 states.
Wow. You're probably one of the few guys or women that have been in law enforcement who are serving in Congress. You're a former Chicago police officer. What do you make of this whole movement? Some are saying, let's defund the police. What are you saying?
Well, I'm not for defunding the police. As I said, the reason I got into police work is to save lives, and that's what police do. Do we need to make some adjustments? Yes, but we're debating what those adjustments should be. But defunding is not one of the issues that ever came up until somebody came up with the idea during one of the protests. But it hasn't come up as an issue here in Congress until then. And I can't speak for everybody, but I don't hear too many people in Congress saying that that's a good idea. Now, using the funds appropriately and efficiently, that's another issue to talk about.
How long were you a police officer in my hometown of Chicago?
14 years. I was mostly in homicide and gang crimes, and spent some time on special operations. I was a sergeant on the Special Operations Unit.
All right, Congressman, we will let it go right there. Thank you very much for spending a few minutes. How long is Congress, do you think, going to be in this particular session?
Well, I think we should be here until we address this pandemic issue. I've been coming back every week so that not only to vote, but even weeks that we don't vote, because this is where we should be. And so we need to do that. And the speaker came out today and said that we need to not go into recess until we get this done.
All right. Tom O'Halloran, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tom O'Halloran, United States Representative from that huge, sprawling Arizona's first congressional district, really starts in the suburbs, northwest suburbs of Tucson, and goes all the way up to the Arizona-Utah border. So I did not realize that that district encompasses 12 Indian nations. All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line guests are presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, sponsoring our live line. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he's giving me kind of a thumbs up. I'll take it. We'll find out how things are going on the markets, but we've got some other areas to cover with Shelley right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And Shelley Fishman is with us in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Shelley, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. A lot of people watching what's been going on with the markets. Yes, we had a very tough time when COVID really hit the fan, so to speak, back in March, but recovered very well. And folks who've been watching this from the sidelines, a lot of angry people out there. Many of them have been laid off. They're out of work. They don't have any money. And they're saying, whoa, what is going on in this country? A lot of people getting rich.
Yeah, you know, if you take a look at this so-called K-shaped recovery, you know, the top 10% are the people who are invested in stocks and bonds. And they're not hurting the way the rest of the economy and the rest of the population is hurting. In fact, if you just take a look at where we are with the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ, we were approaching record highs in January, and we're back there. So year-to-date, things don't look as good as a normal year would look, but you know, when everything else is hurting as badly as they hurt, then even seeing flat year-to-date in the equity markets is hard to look at without getting angry. In fact, we talked about this last week, Bill. As I was leaving, the phone rang, and as I was leaving the studio, the phone rang, and it was one of our listeners, and he had heard our segment, and was just really resonating with the idea that people get angry, and when people get angry, that's damaging to their health.
Yes, it is.
Living with constant
living
anger,
with rage, that right. can be really hard on the health.
And what he suggested was something I'd never heard anybody suggest before, but it really resonated with me, and I wanted to raise it. I asked him to call, and don't know whether he will today. But what he said is, look, on a bad day in the markets, there are stops that will put a cut, stop the market from losing too much money in any given short period of time. He said, but we don't have, so there are protections on the downside.
Yes, yeah.
What we don't have is protections on the upside. And I scratched my head and went, why would we want protections on the upside? Well, because when the market's going up and everybody is on food lines, that creates resentment and anger. And there is so much resentment, anger, and just general kind of polarization in the country today, that without having those kinds of protections on the upside for people who aren't well invested in markets would not necessarily be something that you would simply dismiss out of hand. And I thought about it and thought about it and said, let's chat about it.
Did you see this Sunday in the New York Times? I think the essay is called Greed is Good,
except when it's not, or when
it's bad. Was that a reprint of an earlier essay from Friedman?
Well, it was a rethinking of, including a reprint. So Milton Friedman was a Nobel Prize winning economist who wrote in 1970 an essay that was published in the New York Times called The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Its Profits. And let me just read a little bit from the beginning of this. You get an idea of what the flavor here is. He talks about business people back in 1970 who talk about social responsibility. And he says, businessmen who talk this way are unwitting puppets of the intellectual forces that have been undermining the basis of free society these past decades. Now, that's non-equivocal. He says, the discussions of the social responsibilities of business are notable for their analytical looseness and lack of rigor. What does it mean to say that business has responsibilities? Only people have responsibilities. A corporation is an artificial person and in this sense may have artificial responsibilities, but business as a whole cannot be said to have responsibilities. Therefore, the only function of a business and the leaders of that business is to increase shareholder value. That's all they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this created what Andrew Ross Sorkin says as he introduces this piece in the Times is the thought heard round the world. Because business leaders said, wait a second, if this is our only responsibility, then that's the way we have to act. And in fact, there were some court cases in the 70s and 80s that put that in cement and said, listen, if you're doing anything other than raising shareholder value, then you're not doing your job as a CEO.
What about social responsibility?
There are none. Those are the responsibilities of individuals, not the responsibilities of businesses. Now, you can debunk that theory all you want. It held sway for almost 50 years. Just last year, we finally got 200 or so business leaders who said, whoa, no. Times have changed. That's not the only responsibility of business. Business has a responsibility to all of its stakeholders. And those stakeholders include our owners, certainly our shareholders, but also our customers and our employees and the communities we live in and our suppliers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they promised to reevaluate how they do business in return for looking at this new broader definition of what a business really is. So is greed good? Yeah, except when it's not. So the what caught my eye here, and you know, I'm talking a lot, but what caught my eye here is it came in the Sunday Times, which I get every Sunday in print edition because I'm addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entire section. There's probably 10,000 words in this section with 20 business leaders commenting both pro and con to Uncle Milty Friedman's original essay. And it makes for, at least for people in my business, it makes for fascinating reading because the whole basis for business economics or microeconomics is based on this 50-year-old idea that, you know, you as an individual can have all the eleemosynary, all the, I use that word, nonprofit, all the charitable instincts that you want, and you can indulge those instincts as an individual, but your responsibility as a manager is to make money.
Well, the whole idea of social responsibility, I think, and being a good citizen, I didn't really realize that the origin of how that really changed post-World War II might have been from that essay you're talking about in 1970.
Yeah, Friedman kind of crystallized it. He put it in a, you know, a 3,000-word essay. And I think it was 4 years later won the Nobel Prize in economics, but it was a convenient theory that made it easier for corporate executives to do their jobs in a way that avoided personal conflict. Now, remember back in 1970, it sounds like half a century ago, but it's not the dark ages. Corporations were wondering what their social responsibilities were and should be. They lived in the communities. We were beginning to see the effects of pollution and the effects of how important it was, for instance, for corporations to provide health care for their employees and retirement plans for their employees.
We were coming out of the very turbulent times in the 60s.
Absolutely. Yep. The war was still going on, the Vietnamese War.
Mm-hmm.
But businessmen were really noodling around these subjects and trying to figure it out. And Milton Friedman comes along and says, there's nothing to figure out, guys. Mm-hmm. You got one job and one job only, and that job is to make money.
Wow, but you say things are changing.
Oh, absolutely. Things are changing. And in fact, reading the very, very small print, there's 20 essayists here who take sentences from the Milton Friedman essay and explore what that means in their opinions. And I mean, these are people you'd expect. It's, you know, Mark Benioff from Salesforce. It's the guy who runs Home Depot. It's Andrew Ross Sorkin. It's people who are both economists and business people, and they don't pull any punches in saying, he's right, you know, Friedman is right, and anybody who says he's not right is, you know, some sort of fool. And the other side of that is, wait a second, this guy is all wet in today's world. Probably was all wet in the world back then, and we have a much more advanced view of things now. I'm not taking a position. Well, I am taking a position on this. I love the idea that we view all of business's stakeholders as having a part in the decision-making process for allocating scarce resources, which is what business people do every day.
All right, Shelley Fishman, where can folks get a hold of that essay?
Okay, so you can get it by ordering the Sunday Times. You can probably get a hard copy edition, but there's a Cliff Notes version on the New York Times website, and it's still long and a heavy read, but it's not 10,000 words.
There you go. All right, Shelley, very interesting stuff. And if Matthew wants to call you at a later time, caller who called you last week.
I wasn't going to reveal who it was, but it was Matthew, yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, we'll pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show midway through Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
CBS News Brief. Breonna Taylor's family will get a record sum from the city of Louisville, Kentucky for her death at the hands of three white police officers. Mayor Greg Fisher.
This settlement includes a payment to Breonna's estate of $12 million.
It also includes police reforms. Slowly but surely, a Category 1 Hurricane Sally is making its way toward the Gulf Coast. WKRG-TV's Debbie Williams is in Mobile.
They're asking people to get out or certainly make some preparations to get your vehicles and your belongings onto higher ground because the rain has begun and it is coming down in sheets.
National Hurricane Center predicting storm surge up to 7 feet. Israel, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates agree to establish diplomatic relations in a signing ceremony at the White House. President Trump.
These are very strong agreements. These are very strong. This is really peace. This is serious peace.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, middle of September in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Everybody loves Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They have a great experience there because, first of all, the people who wait on you are incredibly knowledgeable. I mean, you could go in there and say, I'm looking for this particular, I saw a particular bush, it has like these purple flowers, and chances are they'd probably say, oh, that's what's called a Texas Ranger. And they grow very well here, and they would then direct you to that particular area on their 13-acre site. So what I'm trying to get at here is people have a good experience there. They get great service, and they can get every imaginable plant there, and we're all thinking about that now as fall hopefully is coming very soon here. It will be time to put some color into the garden with some fall. Maybe the geraniums will be coming very soon to Green Things. Hope so. Zocalo Village is also there. GreenThingsAZ.com for the Green Things part of the business and ZocaloVillage.com for the part of the business that includes the great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe as part of Zocalo Village. We continue now with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice. This is our candidate interview series. This is our community service that we're doing on all three of our daily local talk shows here. Wake Up Tucson, interviewing candidates. Zach's program, Tipping Point, is doing it. And, of course, we're doing it here on Buckmaster. And so we may not, each show may not have all of the candidates, but cumulatively, you'll probably find the candidate you're looking for at KVOI.com, where we are cataloging, warehousing, if you will, all of our candidate interviews. And now we turn to Republican Beth Ford. Beth has been the Pima County Treasurer now since January 2001, and she joins us now on the live line. Beth, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. The Pima County Treasurer's Office folks know your office because you're the tax collector. I didn't realize, though, how many subdivisions? 96 Pima County political subdivisions.
Well, we added two more, so now it's 98.
Wow.
Yeah, that assess a property tax.
So how would you characterize your term in office, your 20 years in office, and you're asking voters for another 4 years? How would you characterize your run?
Well, I think I've been very efficient. When I took office, we were budgeted for staff of 46, and we're now operating with 25. We've automated 90% of our property tax payments. So we've ended up saving the taxpayers quite a bit of money over my term. I've returned over $5 million in excess budget capacity, which is more than twice my budget.
Are you consumer friendly? I mean, you have, as you say, you've kind of downscaled, but have you, at the same time, are you thinking of your consumers?
Taxpayer service is our function. We're there here for the taxpayers. So of the staff that we have, they're all cross-trained. So you should be able to have your question answered by anybody that picks up the phone. So we're not transferring you from one person to another. We also have a very robust website. You can get just about any information that you need about your parcel from our website. You can make payments there. You can use a credit card or a debit card. There is a fee that's charged by the third-party vendor that we use, but you can do an electronic check for 50 cents, which is actually cheaper than a stamp nowadays.
Wow. You have some pretty big money flowing through the office, right?
Yes, because we function basically as the credit union for those 98 different political subdivisions.
Wow.
So I'm also receiving all the court revenues. I'm receiving the schools money that they get from the state. So we have about $3.5 billion that flows through the office in a given year.
Mm. And so there's banking services are involved too?
Yes, we accept their deposits. We clear their checks or their what are called warrants, make other disbursements. We invest those deposits, and we also do their debt service on their bonds. So we're the ones that are paying the bondholders.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Why did you get into this line of work? I know you are a certified public accountant. You're a CPA to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, 20 years ago, well, before then, I actually worked in the treasurer's office, and I had seen a lot of areas that really I felt needed to be improved. The office really had kind of outgrown my predecessor, who had been in office for 32 years. And that's what compelled me to run for office the first time. I knew I could do the job better, and it would be a great service for our community.
Give our listeners also a little background about yourself, Beth, please.
I actually grew up in Illinois in the Chicagoland area and came out here to attend school and then fell in love with Tucson, never left. I graduated from the U of A with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting. In 1988, I ended up receiving my certification as a CPA. I worked for a local CPA firm, Cotton Parker & Johnson, which has merged and is no longer in existence. But we audited credit unions and nonprofits. And from there, I ended up going to work for Tucson Unified School District as their financial services manager. And then in the 80s, I ended up falling in love, got married, and had a baby. So I left the workforce while she was little. And once she went back to school, that's when I reentered the workforce and ended up working at the treasurer's office.
As I recall, didn't you attend, didn't both of us go to the same high school?
I think so. Nutrier East. Uh-huh.
Yes. Nutrier Township High School, Winnetka, Illinois.
Yep.
I won't ask you when you graduated, but I'll tell folks I was graduated the last class before they decided to separate. They went then to an East, a Nutrier East, and a Nutrier West, and they're back now to one school.
Yes, I believe you were in the same class as my older brother.
I think so. There you go. All right, so structuring your campaign, I've seen your signs, and people probably know your name because, you have to write a check, right, to Beth Ford. So that kind of helps with name recognition.
Yes, it is helpful, especially with the timing of the tax statements, although I don't think people are going to be very happy because they probably went up a bit.
Mine did. Mine went up a little bit, Beth. Why is that? Can you articulate that briefly?
Certainly. Most of the tax rates dropped a little bit, but the overall valuation that the taxes are assessed on went up 4% net. So everybody's taxes probably will see a little bit of an increase. It's going to depend on which taxing jurisdictions cover where you are located. So we've got lots of different tax areas, so everybody's tax rate's going to be just a little bit different depending on the tax area that you live in.
All right, and where can people find out more about your campaign?
They can visit my website at fordfortreasurer.com, and it's all letters. And I'd love to have people find out more information about me and vote for me in November.
Okay. Beth Ford, thanks. Great catching up with you. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Bill.
Beth Ford, the Pima County Treasurer, with us on the live line. She's a Republican, and she is seeking another four-year term. She's been the treasurer now for 20 years. Our 2020 Your Voice, Your Vote series, all of our candidate interviews available for you. We have them all archived at KVOI.com. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, longtime Tucson Weekly Arts writer Margaret Regan.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning to visit Silver City, so you're ready, hopefully soon, when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. Just a three-hour drive, pretty time of year coming up over in Silver City. October is very, very pretty over there when the hike in the high country as the aspen trees start to turn. For more information on things to do and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Time for our monthly arts report with Margaret Regan, the longtime writer who's been writing about the arts, really at Tucson Weekly since 1990. Margaret's the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, that came out in 2015, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. That was a very highly acclaimed book. And then in 2010, The Death of Joseline, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Margaret, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Bill.
Well, so, you know,
working my way through how to live today.
We're all trying to hang in there, as they say.
Yeah.
And you know, you have this literary career, and you were fortunate enough to be named the Pima County Public Library kind of artist in residence, writer in residence. But I think the unfortunate part of it, the timing, it was right as COVID was starting.
That's right. Yeah, I was supposed to do it for 3 months.
And
it was about half that time, mid-March, you know, they cut everything off. So, yeah, so many things have changed. And, you know, we're not doing as much arts coverage right now at the Weekly. So I was glad that a week or so ago I did the fall arts preview and you know, looked up what everybody is doing in these times. You know, how do we still have an art scene?
And that, I think that art scene is starting to luckily reemerge. We've got some of our major museums, namely the Tucson Museum of Art has reopened. And we also have some of the theater groups that are taking a very creative approach. Maybe we can begin with the visual arts, Margaret.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the Tucson Museum of Art was really the first out, you know, opening up again. They did that in July. So they sort of set the template for what people should do. You know, it's all very carefully done to limit the number of people. You have to get your ticket in advance. You know, you have to wear a mask. There are very few people in the, you know, that's a pretty big museum with lots of big spaces, so it's pretty easy to do the social distancing there. So, you know, they've done a good job, and one of the big attractions there right now is they have a whole brand new wing on Latin American art. This was a project they were building during the spring. So it's ironic and kind of sad that this is something that would have been celebrated widely around town among all the different media. But, you know, it's just not something that people are thinking about right now, I guess. But and I have not gone. You know, I've been trying to be very careful about my own self. So I would like to get down there soon. There is this whole new place. It's 3,000 works of Latin art from pre-Columbian clay works to contemporary paintings. So I really needed to get down there, and they're going to plow ahead in October with their Arizona Biennial. You know, that's every other year. They have this very interesting show where artists all over the state compete, and usually it's in the summer, so that was, you know, postponed. But they're going ahead and doing it October 1st, so, you know, good for them.
And the entry to the museum, they have these timed tickets that are sold online.
Yeah.
That helps control the number of visitors. And then once inside, and I'm actually like you, I have not been there, but I'm looking forward to it, because mm-hmm. it gives you, there is plenty of room. It's a large facility.
Yeah.
So you're almost like getting an experience of going into a museum after hours, kind of all to yourself. So that's, I find that very appealing.
Yeah, I know. You know, like those movies where people are stuck in the museum at night and they get to see everything. Yeah, so you can really see things, and, you know, there's lots to see. And the hours are limited. You know, it's only a few days a week right now. So if anybody wants to go, but you have to go online first to get your ticket, and then they're expecting you.
Tohono O'Toole has also reopened with some limited hours.
Yeah, I mean, and they're, you know, as I said, you know, that's kind of a template what the museum has done. So Tohono O'Toole's doing the same thing, limited hours, only a few hours a week, buy your ticket in advance. You know, and those things not only help the museum to limit the number of people there, but, it makes you don't have to use your hands. You don't have to hand money over to a person and buy your ticket and, you know, exchange things. This way, you know, you've done everything virtually, so that's another good thing about that. And, you know, they have a really nice show up there at Tohono O'Toole, and gosh, these poor shows. This one opened in March or something, On the Desert, The Discovery and Invention of Color. And it's just a beautiful landscape show of some of our best artists. Jim Wade has a piece. Barbara Rogers has a piece. And, you know, they saved it. It, you know, it was on view at the time everything closed down, and now we can see it again. So that would definitely be worth going to. So I think what they're hoping, James Schaub, the curator there, told me they're really hoping that by October they can go back to a full week. You know, that place is always open 7 days a week, so they're really hoping by October things will be good enough and our numbers of cases of COVID will be low enough that, you know, it's safe to open even more widely.
I think it's interesting, the Rogue Theater, along with the Invisible Theater, they're trying some live performances. How are they trying to pull that off, Margaret?
Yeah, well, the Rogue Theater, you know, I interviewed the two directors there, Cynthia Meyer and Joseph McGrath. I thought they were using every clever thought they could think of. You know, they just looked at every different thing. What could we do? So they did open this past weekend in person. And here's what they did to make it safe. They decided that, you know, we've learned that the disease goes through little droplets in the air. And when you have actors on the stage proclamating, you know, speaking loudly, and those little drops are going to fly around. So they decided to tape all the sound, all the dialogue in advance, you know, with, you know, bringing the actors together and putting it on tape. And so then at the time of the actual play, they're wearing their masks, but they're not speaking, but they are performing to their own voices, which have already been recorded.
Wow.
Isn't that clever?
Yeah, it's almost like with motion pictures, you know, shooting the scene, then going back and doing, you know, soundtracking it in a separate location.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting creative way.
And they said that it feels almost like dance.
Huh.
You know, dance with sound. So I think good for them, you know, very creative to have done that. And then they were also, they hired a professional filmmaker to film things in advance, taking two nights, so we'd have all kinds of different shots. So those who are afraid to come out yet and go to the play can still watch a very high-quality movie of the play.
Where is, give our listeners, that's the Rogue Theater, and where are they located?
They're on University Boulevard. I think it's at 5th Street. It's the old Y down there, that sprawling building. Yeah, and they did all kinds of things with the bathrooms. They added faucets that you don't have to touch, doors, toilets, none of that stuff you have to touch. It's all, you know... Somehow, by magic, you can make these things happen. So you don't have to touch things. So, and then over at
Invisible Theater.
Invisible Theater. Yeah. Well, you know, the woman over there,
Susan Klassen.
Susan Klassen. She's a real live wire, and she came up with this plan to get her theater formally approved by the State Department of Health. And she has the document to prove it. They did everything that the state required, and so she's got this thing saying, you know, it is safe to come here. So, no, they just did their first play of the season. That's, nothing's running right now. But so with all this, you know, guaranteed safety, they were able to have some plays. But, you know, like Rogue, they only used like 25-30% of the seats. They call it boutique seating, you know, so that people are seated far away from each other. And they actually, what they did with their actors is they called it a chamber piece. And it's almost like a reading in the sense that the actors are just performing while sitting on stools on the stage.
Kind of like the old Reader's Theater. TheRogueTheater.org is the website, and then you can check out what's going on there. And also, Susan Klassen's organization, The Invisible Theater, InvisibleTheater.com. Margaret, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Stay safe. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Nobody says we don't put a lot of content into a one-hour program, huh? That's going to do it. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of John Couch. Have a great afternoon, everybody.